Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. And as you know, it's a Monday. Bohiso is in studio with us to give us all sorts of responses and deal with your questions all related to motoring. But I think he's got a much more interesting conversation today because some of you every now and then ask him questions about your careers and your businesses in the motoring space. And he's gone out and got us some answers. Bohiso, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Welcome.
Yes, you've got guests. You can welcome our guests.
Good evening
to
all the listeners. You know, it's a busy Monday. So
what are we discussing today?
So today we're going to have a conversation around an opportunity, and especially to independent workshop. Remember, we had a conversation with the other guys and how to access.
People always asking, you know, how do I do this? How do I move into the business? How do I get into this industry?
So today we have guests from Shell South Africa, mm-hmm. who's going to help us with the opportunity that they have. Mm-hmm. Basically, what Shell is doing is that they're helping independent workshop in terms of branding.
Yes.
Well, when you're an independent, it's very important that your company and your branding is proper, mm-hmm. so that clients, you can attract them. And once you have a backing from an oil company like Shell, it should say something to your clients also. It's very important that your clients understand that you understand what you're putting into your clients' cars. Mm. So we have two guests tonight.
Yes.
We have Damase.
Good.
Come again?
Gamase.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry to butcher your name. The gentleman over there we call Springs, so it's easier to say Springs.
Good evening and welcome, lady and a gentleman.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, Gamase, you're the flower in the room. So let them just sit there for a minute while we welcome you first on Women's Month. Well, thank you so much for coming through. Maybe let's just start with, you know, your roles at Shell, both of you. Gamase, let's start with you.
I'm Gamase Sodaba, the head of marketing and technical for Shell Lubricants in South Africa.
Springs?
Hi, I'm
Good
Springs.
Evening and welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm Springs Mahlutshana.
Yeah.
I'm the Channel Excellence Manager working with Gamase.
So let's talk about this initiative, your assistance coming into spaces where you assist independent workshop owners to help them with branding. You know, what the initiative is hoping to achieve.
Mm-hmm. I'll start maybe by starting with the intent of the initiative.
Yeah.
So the intent from our side is to develop sustainable new business partners to help provide more cleaner lubricants in the market.
Okay.
That's the intent. What then this does, it opens up opportunity for people that never really had a chance in the past to partake in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Or people that actually had limitations to participate. And I think, as Bokeso has mentioned, what a great way to do it with the backing of Shell Helix as the brand to support you.
Springs, how do you assess the brands, or at least the workshops that you want to associate yourselves with? Because that's your brand out there, you know.
Yeah.
Your brand says, you're almost endorsing this individual in this workshop. How do you go about making sure that your association is actually a legitimate one? This person is someone that you can put your stamp on and say, no, we'll partner with this person.
Yeah, first of all, we do assess whether they have the same values and principles as us.
Mm.
It's very important. And it's also how they also dispose their used oil. It's also very important because we don't want someone who'll just be throwing their oil down the drain.
Mm.
So we also want to ensure that they've got sustainability measures in place in their businesses.
And how, yes, that's a big one, that disposing of oil, I think, is a big one. Bokeso, what do you do?
Well, disposing of oil, basically, you have, what we have is that we have a certain company that comes in. They must also give you, that collects the oil, but they must also give you a certificate because you need to know what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And also when inspectors come, we need to make sure that this oil does not land into the storage system.
Mm.
It's very important that you have people that come and collect the oil. And also sometimes the people who collect the oil give initiative of giving basically a certain amount for the oil. If you have guys where a 209 drum, they'll pay something like a 900 or 600 depending on their rate. But it's very important that the oil gets collected and be taken by the right people.
Springs, let's talk about that oil, because it sounds like it's something quite important, as Gamasa said earlier. Let's talk about these individuals that do then come, and I think they're, it's an industry on its own, right? Those who dispose of that that used oil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, allow Gamasa to deal with that
Gamasa,
question,
yeah.
But we are affiliated to the Rose Foundation.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So, correct. So, on our side, from a Shell point of view, we have Rose Foundation as our partner, who then goes around and collect the used oil from our key customers.
Yes.
And obviously, the intent is to ensure that we dispose that oil in a responsible manner that doesn't impact the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And also, from a Shell point of view, right now, what we're looking at, which is one of our big initiatives, but it's work in progress. We're planning to ensure that we refine that used oil and use it
again
as a base oil, correct?
Yeah.
That's one of the key things that we're working on now.
Yeah. And just talk to us a little bit about the Rose Foundation and your relationship with them.
So our relationship, so the industry is well regulated, and in fact, it is a mandate that all major oil companies, you produce their oil, and ensure that it is
disposed of it properly.
Correct. Mm. So our partnership with them is really in line with legislation more than anything, so that we ensure on our side that as we operate in South Africa, we protect our space because it is a license to operate to ensure that we collect that used oil. Mm. So in fact, it's not even Shell for that matter. Almost all the major
everybody
oil companies,
as you're saying.
Yeah, they are part
of the foundation. In real terms, what does it look like? What actually happens with the oil?
When you say you dispose of it responsibly, where does it go?
I really can't share that now, but from a Shell point of view, we're planning to refine it. We are planning to refine it right now and use it.
The general standard for everybody, not necessarily you, is there like a place where you guys all dispose the oil? Not really?
I wouldn't say not really, but it kind of owned. It's owned by the Rose Foundation. Once we release it on our side, the Rose Foundation then is accountable to say, from a Shell customer, we've collected so many liters, and this is what we've done with the used oil.
Mm.
But it's really driven by legislation, and it is our responsibility as the majors to ensure
And you're saying your future as Shell is to refine that oil and hopefully reuse the oil.
Correct. That's
in some way or another. I mean, that's your thoughts,
Professor? Oh, look, the Rose Foundation, basically, it's part of the regulation that needs, it's very important that they collect the oil, and they also have a recycling program within it. But for independent workshops, any workshop, oil needs to be collected and be sent to the Rose Foundation, and because of regulatory, basically, laws. Because if it lands into the soil, it's a problem. You have a lot of issues because oil and water cannot really mix.
Yeah.
So when oil and water mix, people say they find amarula in their cars.
Springs, we spoke a little bit about the association with the workshop owners, and the feedback you get from the workshop owners themselves about this association, what response have they given you?
One, it gives their businesses credibility because they get to be affiliated with a credible brand. And most of them have started seeing more feet, you know, more people frequenting their workshops. Because consumers like working or like being part of brands that they trust.
Absolutely. Gamasa, you're saying that you wanted, first of all, to make sure that, number one, the product is the right, correct product that the workshop is using.
Yeah.
And obviously then to have these partnerships. Mm. And how widespread have you gone with this initiative?
So we started the initiative in 2021. And to be honest, we felt maybe Gauteng is a good starting point because from a location point of view, almost all of us are here. So it would have been easy to go and, you know, tweak things.
To
as
check,
in, exactly.
Yes.
So currently we are in Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape.
Mm.
And Mpumalanga, and the intent is to take it nationwide. Mm-hmm. I think we've got the learnings over the years, and we've managed to tweak certain things. And in fact, towards the end of last year, we took a pause because there were certain things we felt a bit uncomfortable. Mm. I guess we were learning what we're implementing, and right now we're very comfortable in the space that we're in. Hence, now we're planning a national rollout.
Bogiso, your sense of the benefits of the program?
Well, look. I think it's very important, and as Springs have said, customers come in and they feel that, yes, we're dealing with the right person, because they are now comfortable that what goes into the car is good for a Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also from a technical point of view, now you get assistance of the right oil coming in.
Mm.
I mean, just outside, we were talking about different types of oil that can be used on different models. From a technical point of view, people still need to learn that the right oil going to the right vehicle, 5W530 LLO1, difference in oils, because most of the time when you get to a spare shop, they just sell you what you think is right.
Isn't that interesting? Yes, because people take for granted that, and also I think, tell me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
I think technicians don't want to be told that you don't have the updated information.
So we've got a program called Loop Match, which basically tells the mechanic or the workshop owner, yeah, exactly which oil they, yeah, should be using on that specific vehicle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all that they
do,
it's
part of the upskilling.
Yeah, it's also part of what we offer them, yeah, when we are branding these workshops. So we give them access to this system where if you're coming in with your Cressida or, yeah, your BMW, yes, I don't want to mention car brands. But all that you do is that you just put in the car details and, yeah, it tells you exactly,
oh, wow,
which oil to use in the vehicle, whether it's in the engine or the, yeah, gearbox or,
yeah. Because as I said, because I mean, you don't want to say I don't know. No one wants to pretend like they don't know. Yeah. You know,
in fact, Lube Med, yeah, what Springs, yeah, just mentioned now, it helps even you and I who don't know anything about cars, yeah, so that you can actually hold your mechanic accountable, yeah, when they use the wrong oil. You can say, listen, my car, actually, you just put in your car details.
Is it like an app?
It's an app. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You put in your car details, the model, the year, and all of that. It will automatically kick out which viscosity you need to use. So viscosity, it is the 5W30, the 15W50, all of those are the different viscosities, so that now your mechanic cannot take a chance on your car by just using any other viscosity. Mm-hmm. Because,
and what's the way to do it? Look, he's got my car. I've told him what to do. I've got the app.
Yeah.
What must I get the container back? Once I get the slip of the invoice and the with the container, how do I make sure?
Actually, you're raising a very good point. I think end consumers should, yeah, hold their, yeah, mechanics accountable.
True.
You know, yeah, we need to get to a point where we say to the mechanic, mm, who's servicing your car that I want you to use this specific oil,
yes,
in my vehicle. Because end consumers tend to just ignore and just leave it up to, mm, the mechanic to, mm, decide which oil to use. Mm. But I think it's something that we need to start doing, yeah, as South Africans, especially as South African drivers and vehicle owners.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what are the dangers of not using the right product?
So from a technical aspect, not using the right oil, you running the risk of damaging your engine, because viscosity is very important.
Mm.
In simple terms, viscosity is the flow of oil. So the different numbers that you see on the packaging, it assists you that at 10W60, it's a very, very fast flowing oil that will be used on your Porsches, your high performance vehicles, because it needs to get to the bearings
quickly
and the components very quickly.
Mm.
And well, an LLO1 530 is more about bit thicker, mm, but not so thick.
Mm.
Most of vehicles now in South Africa use a 5W30 or 0030. So basically viscosity is how quickly the oil can flow. It's a flow of oil, to just in lame terms.
But generally you get some sort of an indication, maybe on the road, some light, something. You need oil, you go to the garage, and you don't say, I want oil X. You just say oil.
I guess this,
you just say oil.
I guess now this is empowerment.
I can tell you, Mina, I just say something. Just, yeah, do something. I don't,
you
even know. I don't know, yeah, what this thing is, yeah, asking me. I don't know what it's saying. Just do something. So it's important to know, even at the garage,
yes,
what is it that you want. You must insist on the kind of oil that you,
correct,
want.
Yeah. Correct. And that's why I think for me, a Lube Match then becomes a very...
Yes, then you can check,
exactly,
for yourself.
Yes.
Because if you go blindly and just say, I need oil, I need the light to disappear.
It. Yes.
Anyone is going to say, oh, it needs oil, and they will just give you oil.
They will,
yes,
just
that's
give
the reality,
you oil.
Yes. Right? But,
yeah,
now the question is, to Bokhiso's point, are you using the right oil? Because potentially it will damage your,
yes,
car, which means then you need to go get a new car.
Do petrol attendants get this kind of updated information themselves? How does it work?
I'll speak for the Shell ones. The Shell ones do.
Okay, yes. So they would know what car they would use the same app, maybe?
Yes, yeah. Because if, in most cases, actually, they will ask you what's the old one. And if you don't know, then they will recommend the right or because we have LubeMatch, which is for us.
Okay, then they would know, they would go there and check
what oil to use for your car.
Most garages, not speaking for Shell, will say a multi-grade. So a multi-grade is basically half synthetic oil that is basically used for most of the vehicle. But in principle, in the motor industry, we say a bit of oil is better than no oil, especially when you when you're topping oil, when you're topping up.
Professor, I've got an issue with that statement.
From a topping up point of view, you need oil.
It's a crisis mode.
Yeah, you're in crisis mode.
Just give me anything.
I have an issue with that.
Hey, Mama, you're in trouble.
It's very important because, I mean, you get to your garage and both of you, the attendant and
they don't know.
So you would rather have a multi-grade, which is a bit of oil, than zero oil.
Let's take a quick break and we'll take questions. All right, 086 000 00959, and we'll be back with more after this. Well, thanks so much for staying with us. Bukhisi Dibagwan is here, and we have the representatives of Shell in studio with us, and we're talking about a relationship and initiative Shell has started with workshop owners to help them co-brand some of the workshops, and I think it's doing some amazing things around the country. They are now going on a countrywide a campaign trail. So in studio with us, we've got Bukhisi, and we've been talking about the kinds of oils. Like, if you're talking to me here who knows nothing, maybe this is a good time to start learning about what kinds of oils you need and what kinds of oils are possibly going to give you more trouble than it's worth.
Well, look, a vehicle has a lot of oil components that are different. You have your engine oil, you have your diff oil, you have your gearbox oil, and if you're using a 4x4, you'll have two different gearbox oil because your transfer case and your gearbox oil would be different. And another thing that people not really tap into is brake fluid.
A what oil and a what oil if you've got a 4x4?
So a 4x4, basically, you have a gearbox oil that is separate, and then you have a transfer case.
What's a transfer case?
So a transfer case is basically a unit that allows you to use the 4x4.
The 4x4 mechanism.
Yes. Okay. Remember on basic Toyota Hilux, you'll have two gears sitting next to each other. So you can change the ratio to high or low.
Yes.
So when you are on high, basically using all four wheels,
okay,
there's a unit that allows the vehicle to do that. Mm. And that particular unit has its own oil.
Okay.
And you have...
And these are different oils.
Yes, these are different oil. And you have another lubricant as brake fluid. And brake fluid, people take for granted. Brake fluid can develop moisture if you don't change it. Hence, you have people brake failing or spongy brakes because people forget that a brake fluid needs to be changed every 2 years. So that is very important. And I think for also different types of brake fluid, you have a .4 and a .3, and you have high performance. So I don't know if Springs can elaborate on the technical aspects of that.
Not today. My technical manager is not here. I don't know the specs.
But in essence, knowing what goes into your car becomes important also, because you can't use a .3 brake fluid on a .4 or high performance vehicle because it's not going to perform.
But I think maybe just to add on our side, so from a portfolio point of view, we have everything that Professor just mentioned, from the actual engine oil, the transmission oil, your brake fluid, your coolants, which are also being used in all cars, basically.
Yeah. Is coolant like an oil?
No, it's not it's needed in a car.
Yes, it's So what product is that, that coolant product?
Well, coolant is basically an antifreeze. So antifreeze is very important, especially with... you remember we tapped on antifreeze and deionized water with the new vehicles that takes special water. We can't use water from the tap.
Yes.
Because...
But again, when you go to the garage, what happens?
you ask for deionized water. You can get deionized water at the garage. If they don't have,
you must see.
Use steel water, it's fine.
You must see. But they, there isn't there like zgupinyana usually that they bring out?
Yeah,
Silasano and just, yes, garden. And they just pour.
No, that's different. That's just water. So it could.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you're saying that you need to specifically ask.
Yeah.
Because if you don't ask, you're going to get the scoop of water.
Yeah, true. You're going to get the scoop of water. But once you ask for coolant, and it's also important, you need to know what type of coolant. Mm. Because you can't mix coolant. You can't have yellow, blue, green. Those are the different colors.
No one's ever asked me what kind of coolant I want.
It's for BMW, you need
they
a
just,
blue coolant.
What I'm trying to say is that when you get there, they just say coolant. It's like oil. No one asks.
I think we have a challenge.
Which one, you know, which one? Blue, did you say blue, green? And
blue, green, and pink. So BMW is blue, VW is pink.
How on earth would you know?
It's on the specifications. You can pull it out. It will tell you.
Okay.
Okay, I guess it's similar to oil, because even for oil, you need to use a specific car for it.
You would have to know.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. A specific oil for a specific car. So
and the coolant is the same thing.
Correct.
Mm. You have to be specific that I need this one for, or at least you would need to know what was used before. Is that what you're saying?
It's very important. But I guess, I mean, once you have a Shell backup, those are the things that obviously Springs will supply for you to say, look, once you are under our banner, this is what I can supply for you. This type of coolant, if you specialize in Reynolds, this is what you have to use if you specialize in. Yeah.
And it will assist you as well in knowing which one is the best one for which vehicle.
Yes.
You also wanted to touch on something else earlier.
Actually, I wanted Springs to maybe give us a basically and how to get the opportunity to get branded from the Shell point of view.
All right, thank you. So I think being part of the Shell Lubricants Network, it's a great opportunity for any business, and anyone can be part of it, but they need to adhere to the expectations and the standards that are in place. Mm. Right. So in order to be part of the Shell Lubricants, the first step is for one to go to shell.co.za,
okay,
navigate to the apply to be part of the Shell Lubricants Network. You'll see it on the webpage. And should the application meet the minimum standards, the applicant will be contacted by our vetting agency, and they'll be vetted. So there is a vetting. Process.
And what are you looking for? Because I think last week you and I were speaking about some of the what a workshop would need just to qualify as a workshop. It wouldn't just be my backyard, and I say I have got a workshop because I now can fix cars. What would that person need to have in their workshop? Whether it's equipment or what kind of a setup would you need?
Yeah, the first step it's being a qualified mechanic. You know, they need
yourself.
Yeah, because they'll be carrying our brand, and we don't want people or the end users to have issues, right? So they need to be qualified. And industry affiliation is not that we don't look at it that in detail, but one needs to be qualified.
Yeah.
Safety and health and safety is also very important, because we do look at whether they're adhering to the health and safety standards, whether they've got the right lifts in place, the lift is operational, for example. If they don't have a lift, they need to simply adhere to the basic health safety requirements, because you do get, I mean, this opportunity is open to everyone. We don't want to discriminate and only go for high-end workshops that have lifts. So if it's a Brajo who owns a workshop, is a mechanic, and is a qualified mechanic, and he's got the equipment to actually do the job, and he's got the equipment to do the job, and he also shares the same values and principles as us. I think I need to reemphasize that values are very important. You know, treating people
and
with integrity. Integrity is very important. He needs to be trusted as a workshop, because if there's no trust between him and the community or the people that he's servicing, then it makes it very difficult for us to partner with him or her, you know, because it's very important for me to say him or her, because there's this perception that the workshop industry, it's run by men.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure you get that a lot.
I was actually I was a panelist last week in a webinar, Women in Business, and I said exactly the same thing, that women are capable just like the other gender. And if you were to look at some of the beneficiaries of this initiative, it's actually females. So they are taking up the space and making their mark in all fairness. And maybe just to add, we're actually looking for the brajo, the one who everybody ignores. We don't want someone who's already established. So the intent here is to elevate,
to empower.
Exactly, brajo, and for people to really trust brajo, because now brajo has a partnership with Shell as a brand that's backing him up more than anything. So whether you are operating in a garage, like Spring has mentioned, the key for us, first things first, is just safety. And secondly, yes, are you a qualified mechanic? And then we work around based on the size of the workshop that you have. It's because they vary in sizes. Others are very big, others are very small. But the intent here is to really empower Brajo down the road. I mean, we've got a beautiful story with a guy in, I think at the Val. The guy was selling lubricants on the side of the road. What we did, we actually took a container for him and we made it a shop. Look at that story. So it's literally someone who, I want to say, operate as a vendor. In the morning they come and then they pack up in
the
evening.
And it's so important, because I'm sure also the heat and the elements, you know, they impact on the oils and the products. But at least with this kind of product, then at least the shelter. He was able to keep them, you know, the products safely kept and all of that. And so people are going to ask, okay, we want to do that. They're going to be like, oh no, I want to do that. I mean, is that a possibility?
Yes, there is a possibility. The program is open. As I've mentioned, one can go to our website to apply, shell.co.za, navigate to apply to become of the Shell, part of the Shell Lubricants network. Once they've applied, if they meet the basic criteria, as I've mentioned, then they will go through a vetting process. And that vetting process allows us to know more about them and their business. And after they've completed that vetting process and they've submitted the required documents, then I will say yes or no, right? But in most cases, we say yes, because it's a very basic vetting process. There's nothing complicated about it, but it's just to ensure that they do comply and with what we expect.
And what you're saying, most importantly, is the values. You, if someone pops up on Hello Peter,
we have a problem.
then it's not going to happen, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you wanted to say something?
Well, look, I think it's as somebody who has actually been on their program and this partnership, it's very important to understand the brand, and it's very important to make sure that you adhere by the rules and do the right stuff. I mean, oil, and also having vehicles that come in to come and service, and making sure that you put in the right products is very, very important, because now you have a brand like Shell as a backup on your name.
Yeah.
So you need to do the right stuff.
And sometimes there would be that association that's very closely linked to, they would think this is a Shell workshop.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't adhere to the standards, then Shell gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And in fact, we do offer technical support for all our beneficiaries. So we have a dedicated technical team that will take you through the product portfolio, train you on different products, and you can always reach out to them as well. So it's not like you have to wait for them to come through. When you have a question or you want them to troubleshoot with you, you can call the technical help desk. They'll help you.
Okay, we've got Ntata Selby on the line. Ntata Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Tamelo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Ntata Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
How are you, Brajo developers?
They're good. How are you? You said you have a question, Dr. Selby.
Yes, because I'm also Brajo. Who does not know how to fix cars, but who stay in front of the taxi rank? Can I qualify?
Yes, you can apply, and that day, what we'll do is we can take your details, and then we can connect with you. And like Springs has mentioned, we obviously just have a vetting process on our side, just for us to just ensure that from a safety point of view and where you're operating, it is in line with our Shell standards.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, if it's a tick, we're good to go. We'll support you the best way we can. And ensuring you that you've got, one, the technical support for you to understand the product better, and also how best to, you know, to drive your business, because we also have the back-end office, which is support from how to run a business. So we don't just give people those opportunities and dump them. Exactly. So we can take your details in that day, and then we'll reach out to you.
That's how we'll make sure they've got your details now.
No, thank you, Pamela.
Thank you so much. I mean, this is quite an incredible opportunity for those who, as you're saying, sometimes they need this one leg up, you know, to formalize whatever it is that they're doing, so that they are taken seriously. Whoever it is that their customer gets a sense that they have enough support. When you say that you've got other support, like in the business sense, what kind of support is that?
So what also we do from a marketing point of view, so we will, Springs will do his first leg, which is the vetting process.
Of the technician and all of that stuff,
And then the second stage will then be the technical team coming to support you end to end in terms of, you know, what kind of cars you service in the space that you're operating from. So after
that, they'll give you more knowledge on that.
Spot on. And then there's the marketing component, where we then say, okay, how then do we help you to drive fit? Now that we've branded you, if it's about branding or depending on the mechanics in terms of how we go big with that initiative. So what will then happen, there will be the marketing component to help you drive fit back into your workshop. In this case now, we'll probably say, okay, what's your best days to do activations? You'll probably say, I have more fit on Fridays or whatever the case might be. We give you some caps so that as and when people are coming to service your cars, there are cars you can give out a cap, just like the norm, as you would go to a franchise OEM dealer, where you go in, you sit comfortable, they offer you coffee. So now what we're doing, we giving the same experience to people that are using Obrajo, Nosisinde down the road. So a similar feel. For them to really feel that, listen, my workshop has really been elevated. So we'll then give them those giveaways, brand giveaways. And also what we do is we also give them some workshop kits, so that now, for my finally, when you walk in, exactly. When you
but
walk
they're also
in,
safe, I suppose, as well.
Yes. Spot on. So we will then brand them from the whole staff in that workshop. We'll brand them with Shell branded uniform, just, you know, to give them an elevated
professional look.
Yeah, I actually wanted to just to touch on that I think from the uniform look, it gives
lots
the workshop
of credibility.
And you know that
and professional
people, and they look professional. And I think from the caller just came in now, I mean, from a taxi rank, that's a good business.
That's a good spot. Yes.
That's a good spot. And especially when you have different vehicles coming in as taxis, your Quantums, your VW Crafters. I think that's a good spot. I mean, if you can get branding in and start a business like that, I think those containers that you should
I think
have,
they would do very
well. So we've got
well.
The containers called Shell Power Shops.
No, that I think is a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah,
for
sure. I mean, Taxi Rank is full of taxis all day long and different brands and mechanics. Knowing
but
that
I must state
the right thing.
Yeah. So one of the requirements is that he must have a permit to actually make use of the space. So that's one of the requirements. So yes, as much as
when you do go to the local municipality and do the right, it's not difficult, you must just do it
the right
you know, you must just get the permits, as you're saying, to make sure that you can trade in that particular space. Let's take a quick break. I'll be back with more after this. They laugh. I was just saying that, you know, I'm about to leave you people, I'm going to open a container. It looks so professional, this container. It looks, I'm going to share it on an X. It looks very, very professional. You're saying it's air-conned as well and all of that?
Proper shelving, baglers as well, because we're mindful that you're carrying stock.
Yes.
So where you place it, it has to be secured.
Yes.
So it's really proper shop. For me, I think, if I look at the initiative end-to-end, no offense to you, but the power shop for me
it is
the most uplifting one.
It is uplifting. And it's
it's not just a little leg up.
Yeah.
It's like, geez,
it's proper.
Man.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What would be the requirements? Because it's a container, so it's outside, it's on the road.
Mm.
What is the process? You must have a trading permit.
Yeah. Yeah. So where you are operating, the key for us is who's your landlord, or if you are the owner, because we don't want to give you the container.
Yes,
then someone comes.
Yeah.
Tomorrow it's gone. We're like, we'll place the container here. Where is it? So basically, it's just basic stuff. Are you renting here? Mm. Do you have a lease? Mm. Whatever. We just want to ensure that our brand is well protected in that space. And then afterwards, we just go through the vetting process. Mm. And especially safety is the key for us. It is a license to operate from a business point of view. And then if you meet the criteria, that's it. You get the container. You run with it. We then link you up with the distributor. A Shell distributor will supply you with the product. And you can strike a conversation with that distributor in terms of credit terms and all of that. But they're quite flexible. And because they also bought into the initiative, because they understand this is really about nation building for us more than anything. And you're good to go. Once the vetting part and the and you've cleared the, you know, the this you, do you own the space or you know or you have a lease, we're fine with it. We're just on our from a brand point of view and brand reputation, we don't want to leave a container there and then tomorrow we come back, it's not there. So we want to know we've deployed 100 in the market and these are the different locations and we'll still find them there. And if you want to, I mean, we have another one in. I forgot another place just outside Khasmir. The first one that actually we deployed in Gauteng, Andile. And the guy, the story.
At the toll.
Yes. His story is so heartwarming because what he then did with the container, he then managed to open a car wash on the side, And then from there, he opened a bit of a shisanyama. Mm. So it became a really big establishment now. Mm-hmm. So if you go there, you see there was just one container when it started, but now it has really grown to be really big with the mini pockets of different businesses that he's opened.
In terms
of pricing, do you basically legislate that, or can I just you give me my own price to
the
to
container
run it?
No, the product.
The product. Look, I have the
product.
Container.
You do regulate that, right?
No, we don't.
You don't?
We, all we do is this. We give you a recommended price, but it's up to you. We don't really manage your margins. It's up to you what your margin aspiration
is. It's the same as you guys. It's the same as you guys. You know how when I take my car to Sandton, the price of servicing is different to when I take it to you. It's the same. Usually, Pokusos is 10 times more. The proposal is 10 times more than Sandton. So that's interesting. So at least, obviously, depending on, you know, how far the person has had to, your guys come through, right? In the area, he doesn't have to come and fetch it at a depot or anything like that. They come to
you. So the beauty about our network of distributors, we link you up with them, and you call them, place the product, they deliver the product to you. So no need for you to then organize transport to go pick it up,
which is what I was asking
cost.
About.
That's the convenience and the service that they offer.
I mean, it's such a heartwarming. You know, there's so many people who find barriers to entry into any industry. It becomes if it's not that, it's that. If it's not the next thing, it's the next thing. So for me, this is such a heartwarming way in which you can start people up. And maybe just to be clear, there are no real other extra costs. It's you are just the distributor of products,
correct?
Right?
Yeah.
And you would have to just qualify to get either vetted. And then once that happens, then it's a partnership more than anything.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, for example, if you look at Boris is slightly different because
he's a big gun.
Yeah.
He already had he has a building.
So all we did there was just to brand his workshop. Yeah. But now with the containers, it is fully funded by Shell.
Wow.
There is no repayment. All we're asking for...
Look after it.
Look after
those
it.
Those values that
and
you
look
spoke
after
of.
Our brand. That's all we want.
Yes.
So that's the
and
only
look
layer.
After the brand. You know, learn to respect the brand. The brand will then honor you back.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, you were saying?
No, I'm just agreeing with what you're saying.
I mean, you were saying that obviously there was a year where you had to hold back. Any major learnings in that time?
I think the major ones were, for example, we had a lot of people, and then you realize that
capacity.
So, No, not capacity. So we are busy working, we're rolling out the containers and all of that close to the time. I don't own the land. Who owns the
land?
Oh,
yeah, I get it.
I don't know. And for me...
It's a bylaw problem.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Now, we had a lot of issues, and that's why we added layers into the vetting process around, you know, do you own the land?
Yeah,
do you have a lease?
Yeah.
And for how long?
How are you allowed to
exactly.
be here?
Exactly. So that was one of the learnings, which really... And it's amazing how many applicants we actually got, because everybody, and I think because of the opportunity to then partake in the economy, everybody was taking it up. But now we hit a dead end where we're like, okay, we're coming through, we've seen the vetting, so... Okay, who owns the land? I don't know. I've always just operated here. And the reality of the matter, that's what's happening in our townships and the outlying areas. It is an open land. I just put my table there.
But this is going to be good to teach them to use the right channels.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go to the municipality.
Yeah.
You have to get, because you can get permission.
Yeah. You
can. But you must
that's
just
true.
Do the work.
Right thing. Yeah.
You must just
that
do
was
work.
That was the, actually the major one, more than anything. So we had to put, a bit of some control to say, guys, let's take a step. We're all excited, to be honest with you, at the prospects and how the market received the initiative. But, that was the main one, more than anything.
Are there any regulations around proximities to any other traders and things like that? Anything like that that prohibits a person from getting the opportunity?
None whatsoever. However, on our side, we are just mindful because we don't want to cannibalize volumes
of
from
course.
You to
of course, to
the
other person. Another. You can't have like three in the same street.
Yes. You know? We're very mindful of that.
Yeah. So, but the focus is also on rural and township areas.
Yes.
I think I must... I have to state that it's the focus is on rural and township areas because it's part of our nation building initiative.
Sure.
Bukhiso? I have seen the pictures of the container and I think it's a good initiative. As you said, it's very important to have the right papers in place in terms of, I can imagine from the township, containers are everywhere and... people don't have leases.
I like that you don't want people to cannibalize each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then otherwise there will be a problem.
Sure.
You know, then people are going to start fighting one another about, but I was here first.
Mm.
You've taken my business and. So that's, I think, is very important.
Let me throw one in spinner in the works that I think... It was 2 years ago, I saw a video of somebody trying to manufacture products. How do you deal with that?
Counterfeit, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it actually, it sits with me from an accountability point of view within the business. So
your own brand. Somebody was trying to counterfeit you.
There was a video
People are so brave. Oh, but I think that happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And in fact, across almost all brands, to be honest.
So they just make sure that they get the container.
Yeah.
But what's in there?
That's the important part. Correct. So the norm is, one, we rely on the public, to be honest with you, to let us know when they see such such illegal activities. And obviously, once I know from my side, I will then take it through the internal processes. But normally, there's just certain things from a brand point of view that I can see from a branding.
Yeah.
The second one, the color of the oil.
Yes, of course, you will check the content.
Away,
yeah.
Right. In most cases, actually, even before testing it,
you can
I can
see.
Just tell that, okay,
no, this is
not
it.
But obviously, I need to take it through the lab for them to really confirm.
What is this?
Yeah, but we've been proactively managing those instances, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's like you manage this site and then it crops up in another different area. But we really do appreciate the public when they reach out and say, listen, I think something is suspicious there, and then I take it in on my side and then pass it through the internal processes. Yeah.
I guess that will be very important when you have given somebody a container, making sure that actually they start using their own right place.
They use a channel for their own devious means.
And I think with us as well, another layer to potentially avoid counterfeit, that's why we link them up to our own distributors where we say, thank you, this is your container. These are our two distributors that you can partner with.
And they will
with.
Also come and check.
Correct.
I mean, you know, every now
because
and then.
We know our distributors, they buy the product from us.
Yes.
So the question now would be, you gave Gamasi this container, but Gamasi is not buying from
you. This is
now
the question.
Who's supplying,
who's supplying you? What are you doing in the container?
So that's another layer
and
for us.
And what are you selling?
Yeah, exactly. What are you selling in the container?
Yeah. That's another layer. But then, I mean, for me, if you were to do that, to be honest with you, you'll be killing the opportunity for yourself, nobody else.
Because absolutely.
The container one, honestly speaking, there is no additional cost. All you need is just capital to fund the product. That's it.
Yeah.
It's safety first. You own the land, or you've got a lease, we give you the container, fully funded by Shell. You just need capital to then let the business run on its own. So you'll be killing yourself, actually, if you were potentially look at selling counterfeit in that container.
And I think, I mean, with the capital, I think it's when you look at the margins of different lubricants that Shell offers, I think I would say 15,000, it's a good startup from to get.
So in the event that you have, it wouldn't be a workshop, but there are people who sell spare parts. Does that apply to them? Would you partner with that?
Yeah, so we do partner with motor spares. There's a number of motor spares that we've partnered with. We actually convert the motor spares. We fully brand the motor spares. The CVP, the value proposition, let me rather say, it's similar to the workshop proposition where we actually give them uniforms. We give them the technical knowledge. We leave booklets for them to simply understand which oil to recommend. We also link them to Loop Match so that they can recommend the right oil to the consumer or the end user. So we are looking forward to partnering with more motor spares.
So that is an opportunity as well.
It's a three-layer approach. So it's a motor spare approach where you're just selling spares and then we brand. It's a Pochiso approach, which is a proper workshop. And then also it's also seen, you know, gradually down the road that we then elevate with the container.
So where do people, you said, where do they get
to? So it's also on the same, so you go to shell.co.za, you navigate to apply to become part of the Shell Lubricants Network. That's what the tab will say. And once you are in, once you've clicked that tab, it gives you options whether you want to be apply to become part of the motor spares. You need to have an existing motor spares business. I think I need to state that clearly, that if you're applying to be part of the motor spares network, you need to have an existing motor spares. There's also an option for one to be part of the workshops network. They're all part of the Shell Lubricants network. So if you click the option that you've got a workshop, you need to have an existing workshop. Because we've also seen applicants where there's no workshop, but the person is applied to be part of the workshop network. So we brand your existing workshop and
because
we give you the support.
Because you want to vet what it is that you're doing.
Yes.
And, you know, the experience of the customers with you.
The only option where you don't have to have your own infrastructure, it's the container option.
But what is it called when you go into the
power shop?
It's power shop.
Yes, but I would encourage people that have motor spares and workshops to actually sign up and be affiliated to our brand and become part of the Shell Lubricants network.
Yeah, as you're saying, I mean, being associated with a brand that has got this credibility, especially as you're saying, rural township, it's just, it really elevates you. Yeah. You're just not a shop.
True. Yeah.
You know, people then get to recognize that, okay, I can trust this business because they are part of a big brand.
Yeah. And also, I think with us, from a strategy point of view, why we went for townships and rural areas, purely because I think that's where the nation building key element came in for us more than anything, to find those opportunities where we can at least plow back into the nation by giving people opportunities to participate in the economy. And also from a brand point of view, that's where we saw that from a visibility point of view and availability, the brand was less visible and available. So it was a balancing act. We knew from a brand that we were struggling, but the key for us was the how then do we close our brand equity and market share. And that's when we then said, listen, there will be opportunities in urban areas. It's a fair point. However, where do we really need to invest more? And that's where then we are like, this is where we want to focus on.
Well, that's fantastic. Because I suppose this is us, and we'll do this again next week.
Yeah, sure. But they promised to. Do you have a passport?
I never promise anything.
Tell me.
Do you have a passport?
Yes, I do. It's right. Brand new.
I think we need to get Shanghai visas. Then we're good to go. Let's just prepare.
Where are you guys going to, if I may ask?
That's all I have to say.
I've got it's ready.
Passport.
My passport is ready.
We're going.
We're going now.
Yeah.
We're going.
You're going to a container in Port St.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.